I think all of us here are familiar with the probably most famous Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way." Like myself, maybe you two are guilty of singing it full throat at the end of a party or a quinceañera or a wedding or whatever. It's a song we all pretty much know, even though it's from many generations ago. "I Did It My Way." One could say, based on today's scriptures, that that would be the anthem of hell itself. For the Christian, the song would be the literal opposite. "I did it his way. Everything I did it his way." While the world continually tempts us to think of independence and autonomy and freedom to be doing it the way I want, when I want, how I want, human experience, for those who reflect upon it, teaches us that it only leads us to enslavement to our vices. And preeminent of all those things is pride. We believe that at the foundation of every sin is pride. Consider Adam and Eve. They couldn't have had it more perfect before original sin. But at some point in their freedom, which made love possible, without freedom, love couldn't exist, they decided that they wanted to be like God, but without God. "Let me attain wisdom. Let me attain knowledge. Let me know right from wrong for myself, and not simply trusting what God tells me, who has only been good and benevolent." And so they ate the fruit, and therein entered death and sickness, sin itself, what we call original sin. At the root of every sin is a desire to do it my way. And as Catholics, sadly, we're not immune to this. In spite of what our faith teaches, in spite of the example of Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, took upon human flesh and became one like us in all things but sin, taking upon himself the cross, being innocent, and sacrificing himself for the sake of the guilty. Christ's example could not be more clear. He did the work of a slave on the night before his death, when he left us the gift of the Eucharist, the Last Supper, washing the feet of his disciples. Peter rightfully was horrified and initially rejected allowing Jesus to wash his feet, because he knew Christ is the King, the Messiah, the Savior, and he proposes to do the work of a slave that Peter himself would not do. And yet there was Jesus on his knees washing their feet. And he told Peter, "If you do not allow me to wash your feet, you will have no place in my kingdom." Peter, always quick to respond and typically exaggerating, said, "Well, then wash me all over. You've already been washed. You do not need to be washed except for your feet. I'm leaving you example to follow." If we don't allow Christ to wash our feet, we'll never have the humility to wash the feet of others. And allowing him to do that for us happens most of all, and especially in the sacrament of confession. We'll get to that in a moment. If pride is at the root of every sin, and pride is something that we struggle with, the great masters of the Christian tradition and spiritual life tell us that if you want to overcome a vice like pride, then exercise and practice the opposite, acts of humility. Above me is an original painting from 1880 hanging in this church of St. Ignatius of Loyola, a model of humility. This man, before his conversion, was a knight. He was wealthy. He was of noble blood. He loved the fanfare, the attention, dressing up, going to battle. He was violent. He had killed, and he was strong. Injured in battle and taking several months to recover in bed, he experienced a profound conversion. And the authenticity of that conversion was shown initially when, knowing he knew little to nothing about the faith, as a grown man, a soldier, steeped in experience of battle and with weapons, is literally sitting next to 10 and 12-year-old children learning catechism. This grown man, a warrior, humbles himself in the presence of little children to learn what they're learning because he didn't know it. Eventually, his humility would lead him to study at the University of Paris, the Harvard of the day, and become the great founder of the Society of Jesus, right? The largest religious order in the Catholic Church today by far, 16,000 plus members, and the founder of countless universities throughout the world. But it all began with him sitting in religious ed with a bunch of children. a seasoned warrior and a veteran. That humility was at the core of his being elevated in the heart and mind of God. And that's what the scriptures tell us. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. Jesus says the same when he tells us, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbled himself will be exalted. Our world insists that everyone look at me. We get the nicer car, the nicer house, the nicer clothes, the nicer ring, the nicer watch, the nicer jewelry, right? The nicer appearance, the plastic surgery, the bigger house. Everything is look at me, look at me, look at me. And everything is about getting others to do what I want. And nothing could be more contrary to the teachings of Christ and his very example. So Ignatius taught that at the heart of all the spiritual life and the foundation for any prayer that affects change in our lives is this humble recognition that he is God and I am not. Without him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do anything. That's at the heart of prayer. Lord, I am nothing, nothing without you. But in you, I have everything. And so if we want to conquer the sin of pride, at the root of all sin, this vice, we begin by exercising acts and lifestyles of humility. What does that look like? Well, maybe you serve food to people poorer than you, people who are homeless. You help out at the soup kitchen, Samaritan's House, or the Sisters of Charity at St. Joseph's. You volunteer at nursing homes. You help out Marisol Health, women seeking help who are pregnant outside of marriage and tempted to have an abortion. We put our skills and our abilities in the service to others who have not. We make ourselves their servant, just as Christ did, who is God, serving us by laying down his life. He said repeatedly, I have come to serve, not to be served. One of the key areas that I think is the biggest impediment to overcoming pride and the greatest danger for the salvation of Catholics today, in my personal opinion, is the refusal to go to the sacrament of confession with frequency or at all. It breaks my heart to see people go to communion week after week, and I've never seen them in confession for the 3 years I've been here. I only hope and pray to God they're going to confession somewhere, anywhere, to any Catholic priest, which is certainly possible and wonderful to do. You don't need to go to me, as long as it's a priest who has been given the faculties by the Archbishop to forgive you in the name of Christ and with the authority of the Church to reconcile you with God and your community of faith. But nothing breaks my heart more than to see Catholics year after year, week after week, going to communion and refusing the sacrament of confession. I think nothing guarantees more effectively our condemnation than that. As you heard me last week, quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 11, those of us who receive communion in a state of serious sin, as Paul says, quote, eat their own condemnation. Communion condemns you, it doesn't help you. An analogy would be like having a massive blow-up fight with your spouse. And then, without reconciling or asking for forgiveness and pretending nothing ever happened, then you want to be together at night in bed, or you just sit across from each other at dinner like, hey, so how was your day? As if nothing happened. They would be more hurt and more offended. And it's not unlike that, although in a much profounder and real way, when we presume intimacy and communion with Jesus that is not there by receiving him anyway. If you want to grow in humility, not only can we practice and exercise these works of mercy that I mentioned, but most especially to go to confession frequently. It's a humbling experience, but not humiliating. There's a big difference, right? Humiliating is when we do things in public or things happen and folks laugh at us and they judge us and they criticize us and they condemn us. In confession, it should never be that way. God forbid. In confession, we go to Christ, represented by the priest, but we confess our sins to Christ. That's why we don't go into details, because Jesus knows all of them, and the priest doesn't need to know them and doesn't want to know them. We only name what we've done and how many times, if it's serious. And in doing so, we experience his healing mercy and forgiveness, not judgment. We are lifted, the burden is lifted off of our shoulders, and we're allowed to begin again, to begin anew. The sacrament of confession is the greatest gift to the church, second to the Eucharist, in my opinion, and necessary and inseparable from frequent and holy communion. The more often we go to confession, the more we experience the humility and the awareness of our own faults and failings, because we're confessing our sins, not that of our spouse, our wife, our kids, etc. And having received forgiveness and mercy, we're better able to give forgiveness and mercy to others who need it, even though they don't deserve it, just like us. And so confession is the key if you want to grow in humility and to experience the salvation Christ offers. It is essential to be a Christian. There is no other way than the way of humility. Christ embodies it. Christ shows it. I can think of the many times over the years that I've been privileged to celebrate the Mass of Holy Thursday. And for those who have attended, we reenact Christ's washing of the feet. And then we spend time in Eucharistic adoration. And countless times that I can remember, on my knees as pastor, the Reverend Dr. Eric David Zagier, right, priest of 20 years, washing the feet of a child or washing the feet of an elderly person or whatever it may be, and they're brought to tears. That act of humility in the beautiful liturgy of the church moves their hearts to recognize, my God, what have you done for me? Who am I to receive this? The response is not to be one of shame, guilt, or something of the sort, but rather of gratitude. Lord, if you would raise me up from my lowly state, let me then use my life to serve others who need their feet washed as well, figuratively speaking. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. If you do it your way, you will in this life, but you'll experience the opposite in the next. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted by God. When I came to Denver in 1993 as a high school student to see Pope John Paul II for World Youth Day, there was a particular song that our youth group loved to sing, and there would be a male and female verse back and forth. Humble thyselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Higher and higher, and he will lift you up. Well, we would sing that back and forth in two-part harmony, and we'd get goosebumps, and, you know, we sang it on the plane. We sang it in DIA as we landed. We sang it through the streets of the 16th Street Mall. We sang it throughout Colorado, Denver, and Cherry Creek State Park. And it was just a beautiful experience, a transformative experience in my own personal life. Putting ourselves to serve others, giving out food to the homeless. During that week, it was said afterwards, Denver had one of the lowest crime rates in its history, and that the hundreds of thousands of young people that came to Denver from all over the world also dedicated themselves to help out the poor and the needy, to do works of mercy throughout the city and leave a lasting impact for others so they would see in their humble service the very face of Christ, who humbled himself so that we might be exalted by the gift of his divine life. The path is clear. The challenge is real. The danger of pride is the greatest, but the antidote is humility. And the ways to obtain it are real and realistic, obtainable, simple, though they may not be easy. We can sing it and live life our way, but Christ invites us to do it his way instead. So that instead of exalting ourselves, he would exalt you instead.